Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, we're continuing this week on our study of bearing more fruit, or as we might call it, becoming into maturity. I hope you've been listening to these messages, because he's kind of building line upon line, precept upon precept. And, a few weeks ago, he gave me the parable of the orange, real quickly, I'm going to summarize it again, because it has everything to do with maturity. So, in fact, and before I even start about the orange, let's read from the Word of God. I've got some scriptures prepared here talking about fruit, okay? So go ahead and turn to John chapter 15, and I'm going to read a fairly lengthy passage, verses 1 through 8. And of course, this is Jesus talking. This is really just hours before the cross. And he's already taught a lot out of this passage, which there's just no time to review today. So, again, I hope you've been listening. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit." So, what's the subject here? Fruit and more fruit. "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me." Well, that makes sense. "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, now he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, if you abide in me," now this next phrase, "and my words abide in you." Keep that in your mind. What does it really mean when Jesus says, "and my words abide in you"? We'll have a real good definition of that by the end of this lesson. So, "if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." Now notice, "so shall you be my disciples." Well, one thing is for sure, you can follow Jesus through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you can absolutely see that he bore a lot of fruit. I still love Acts 10:38, one of my all-time favorite verses. Of course, I have a lot of all-time favorite verses. "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." And boy, you can just watch. He casts out devils, heals the sick, straightens up a lady bound over for all those years, heals a paralyzed man that was at the pool for 38 years, on and on it goes. And in John, even after all of the things written, John, near the end of his gospel, says, "Well, if all the things were written down that Jesus did, I don't think all the books in the world could contain them." Now, there's a single life bearing a lot of fruit. And he says, the goal here, verse 7 and 8, "if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you." Now by that method, herein, that method, "is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples." Now when you think about being his disciples, go over to Luke just for a minute. I'd like for you to look at a verse here, Luke chapter 6, verses 39 and 40. He says, he spake a parable unto them. "Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? Now notice, the disciple, the student, the trainee, the disciple is not above his master. But everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Now, that word perfect, let me read it to you how it's translated in the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible is really more close to the Greek language of what they heard. It says, the Amplified Bible on that word perfect says, when the student is completely trained, he shall be like his teacher. When the perfect means mature, or you could say fully trained. Let me read it again. The Classic Amplified Bible says, when the student is completely trained, he will be like his teacher. Well, I see we can understand that with, like, if you wanted to learn karate or judo or something like that, you would be the student. You would enroll in a karate class or a judo class. And when you first come, you're just a student. You certainly can't do what the master does. But you have submitted yourself for training. And the process begins. And you start and you stumble and you do your best, but you fail and you try it again. But the trainer keeps training you. But the goal is when you graduate, when they give you like a black belt, you should be able to do what a black belt teacher teaches. You should be able to do the same. See, and that's just so, doesn't that sound like John, had Jesus talking in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 12, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father? Look at it again. Luke 6:40, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master, fully trained. If you're talking about fruit trees, you'd say they come to full maturity. Let's go to the orange again. Why do we have oranges today? It's because these oranges have seeds in them. One time I was meditating on that. I said, well, I want more fruit. I want more oranges. I know what I'll do. I'll plant these orange seeds. And the Holy Ghost said, there's no such thing as an orange seed. And I didn't know whether to rebuke that voice or not. What? I have driven through miles and miles of orchards of oranges on the way, orange groves, I think they call them, on the way down to Bronx Church in Florida, and all those years driving the trucks. I've seen miles and miles of these oranges, and every one of them has seeds on the inside of them. What do you mean there's no such thing as an orange seed? He said, when you plant that seed, you don't get an orange. You get an orange tree. And I went, that's right. There really is no such thing as an orange seed where you plant the seed and you get an orange. No, you plant the seed and then you get an orange tree. Now, somebody impatient might say, I'm not interested in all the work it takes to cultivate and water and nurture trees for maybe 1 or 2 or 3 years, depending on the type of fruit tree it is. And I'm not interested in growing all these trees and bringing these trees to maturity till they bear fruit. I'm not interested in that. Can I just have the fruit? And the Holy Ghost said to me while I was meditating on that, he says, oh, I've made provision for that. That's called the gifts of the Spirit. And you can remain immature, like Paul said about the Corinthians, that they were just, he had to give them milk, couldn't give them meat. They were like little babies, yet they came behind in no gift. God was using them because God is God. He wants to help people. He wants to bless people. There is a way that he can produce fruit through you without you coming to maturity. There is a way to do that. And that's what he was saying to the Corinthian church. But then right at the end of chapter 12, where he talks about all the gifts, the apostle Paul writes, covet earnestly the best gifts. That's a good thing. See, covet earnestly the best gifts. Yet show I unto you a more excellent way. A more excellent way than what? Remaining a baby, only functioning in the gifts as the Spirit wills. He'd rather you'd go, say, what's the next chapter? The more excellent way. What is it? What do we call 1 Corinthians chapter 13? That's the love chapter. And you read that, especially if you read it in Amplified, oh my God. Takes no account of a suffered wrong. What? Always thinks the best of the other person. What? Maturing up into love. And if you grow up, let's say it the way it says that, it said it here. If you submit to the trainer, which is the Holy Spirit, you will eventually become fully trained, able to do what the Master does. And that's exactly what Jesus said in John 14:12. The works that I do, those that believe on me, the works that I do shall they do also, and greater than these shall they do. So I just want you to know that the church at large has not focused much on bringing these fruit trees. See, what do you mean a fruit tree? The new man, the new person on the inside of you that got born again the day you received Christ. Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You don't come in. That new man is not mature. Now, its nature is righteous and holy from day one. You were created. That new man is created in the image of God. And in Ephesians chapter 4 tells you it is created after God, after his image, in righteousness and true holiness. So you don't have a sin nature anymore. You've got the nature now of righteousness and holiness. But that doesn't mean you're not a child. You've got to grow up. You've got to become fully trained. Now today we're going to look at some of that training, and especially what it means for his word to abide in you, and how that's going to produce more fruit. All right. Now today we're going to stay a whole lot in Luke chapter 6 and teaching it from a little different perspective, from the understanding that Jesus really in Luke 6 is talking about maturity and growing up. And you'll see what I mean as we go along here. Let's start over here. Let's focus on maturity today and not just the fruit. Yes, sir. I want to say it one more time. I keep getting this little check to go on. I've had the gifts operate through me. I've had them operate through me when we were very young in Christ. When we were doing the Bible studies in our home back in 96 and 97, and we had very immature believers coming, and we were pretty immature ourselves, we had the gifts of the Spirit show up. Several people got healed supernaturally. We laid our hands collectively on this one lady one time, and by a word of knowledge, told her something to do for a friend, and she did it, and that friend got healed supernaturally. And trust me, it was all the gifts, not based on maturity. God will use you even in your immaturity, but that's not his best, see? And we know all of the gifts worked through Jesus. You can go through and find every one of the gifts of the Spirit. But Jesus didn't wake up every morning with the attitude of, oh, gee, I hope the gifts of the Spirit flow through me today. I hope the working of miracles might flow. Maybe the gifts of healing. I wonder if I'll get a word of knowledge, you know, which is pretty much kind of the attitude that I had anyway, and I think most Christians have when they're young in the Lord. Jesus wasn't like that. I still remember in the Gospels where those blind men, they brought blind men. You know, most of us would just assume what they wanted. But Jesus, now allow me, I'm just going to use this like a fine waiter at a fancy race. Whoa, didn't work too well. I need a different cloth. But like a fine waiter at a fancy restaurant, he asked them, well, what would you have me do for you? And of course they're blind, but he's asking them. He's like, I can serve you anything you want off of my Father's table. All that the Father has is mine. What would you like? What would you have me do for you? Like a waiter, what would you have me bring you? And of course they said, Lord, that we might receive our sight. And of course that's what they got. They received their sight. So that's the mature son. That's the image that we're after. See, why did God give us the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, and so forth? He said it's part of that is for the building up of the saints, but it's to bring us to maturity, that we may grow up into him, that we become mature no longer blown around by every wind of doctrine, that we might grow up into Him. He's wanting to mature sons and daughters. Well, again, Luke chapter 6 has a lot to say about that. And let's read it with the eye towards maturity. All right, I know we're kind of in the middle here, but pick it up in Luke chapter 6, verse 41. Jesus says, "Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceives not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how can thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? You hypocrite, or thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye." Now, he's just plain old talking about maturity here. hang on just a minute. I've seen this a lot, and I'm sure you have too. People get born again, especially they get filled with the Spirit, and they start hearing about prophecy. And it's amazing how right away these young believers will have a word for you, you know. And they're trying to help you. I remember one thing, again, I shouldn't pick on the same thing, but it's just such a perfect application. In my early days, I was still smoking, very immature. Shouldn't have been smoking, but I was. And I had this Bible student graduate come to me, and bless his heart, this man literally, I don't believe I'm exaggerating, I think he weighed 400 pounds or more, and he wasn't any taller than I was. Huge fella. His car that he drove, and it wasn't a small car, his car was all broke down, the springs, he was so heavy. When you saw the car driving away from you, it was broke down on the left side, on the driver's side, you know, because he was so heavy. And bless his heart, he gave me a pamphlet on how to quit smoking at the time. You know? Well, his heart was right. His intentions are good. But perhaps we might ought to work on some of the beams in our own eye before we start telling other people how to get rid of the little splinter in their eye. Excuse me. Jesus is talking about maturity here. He's saying, you know, he used to sit back there, the Father is the husbandman, and He'll prune you so that you'll bear more fruit. Well, smoking was definitely a non-productive limb in my life. Do you ever think about that pruning process from the tree's perspective, or the vine, you know, grapevine or the tree, either one? Here you're the vine, and here comes the Father, and He's got this look in His eye, and He's got these big loppers. You know what loppers are? Where you lop the limbs off, you know. You see Him coming. He's got these loppers, you know, and you're going, what are you going to do with those? why are you bringing the loppers? Now, this happens a lot when you pray in the Holy Ghost. And He says, you've got some dead limbs that have got to go. No, I'm fine. I'll bear more fruit. Not with those dead limbs, you're not. Yeah, I will. I can bear more fruit. And the Godfather's going, no. A lot of times you'll drop out of prayer right there because you don't want Him. You don't want your limbs lopped. Limbs lopped, I guess that'll work. You don't want your limbs lopped. You're going, no, I'm fine. Just leave me like I am. I'm good. And the Father's going, no. In order to produce more fruit, those limbs got to go. And here He comes with the loppers. And see, a lot of times people will drop out of prayer right there for a season, you know, thinking, whew, man. Yeah, and they won't pray for a while, but then your hunger will bring you back because you just got to have it, you know. Your spirit wants to communicate with the Father again in those other tongues. You'll start praying, and they're way down where you wouldn't admit it. There's part of you that goes, maybe He forgot about those dead limbs. You know, maybe He's forgot. You'll start praying. It won't be 5 minutes, probably. Here He comes again. He's got those loppers. See, and eventually you have to just submit. Yield, okay, it's got to go. I remember when the cigarettes went, and I remember when a lot of false doctrine is gone, things that I thought I knew when we first started at the prayer center and started praying in tongues, things I thought was true, that I had been taught by well-meaning preachers, but they're just wrong. Man, he had to lop off a lot of false doctrine, still doing it today, not as much, but man, it seemed like an avalanche there at the beginning. So many things. But see, he gets, if you continue praying in tongues, and if you haven't read Dave's book, The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power, you just got to read it. And it's the best book on the planet, I think, about this purging process and how the Holy Spirit will really work with your spirit to purge these dead limbs that don't bear fruit and never will bear fruit and are hindering your fruit bearing. They got to go. And that's what Jesus said. The Father is the husbandman. He does it by His Spirit. But if you'll allow Him, those limbs have got to go. Well, listen, as those limbs go, then you're in a position to help your brother. You don't want to be a 400-pound man trying to tell another person how to quit smoking. Get your own body. Get your body under dominion. Learn how to have dominion over your body, and then you can help somebody else. Okay? Anyway. Now see, the thing of it is, he said, just don't judge me. He didn't say that. He said, if you're going to judge, you're going to be judged yourself. So judge yourself first. Judge yourself first. And a big way you can, you might say, well, I'm fine. Well, you pray in the Holy Ghost a while, you'll find out there's some things that aren't fine and that need to go. Now, he loves us from the beginning to the end. He loves you dead limbs and all. But I'm talking to people that want to see revival, people that want to give their lives to God. And if you're going to do that, you're going to spend a lot of time praying in the Holy Ghost. And if you're going to do that, the husbandman is going to come to remove dead limbs. As those dead limbs are removed, more and more you are qualified to help your brother. See, the goal, did you ever see how that ended? Look at that. Then thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. He wants you to help your brother. He wants us to help each other with our motes and help get them out. But you're not in a position to do that unless you're free yourself. You got to spend time. Again, going back to those early days, you know, the little young believers that's always got a word for somebody else. Why don't you not focus on that? Just sit there and let the Holy Spirit focus on you. You got dead limbs hanging all off your body, you know. You got dead limbs everywhere. Let the Holy Spirit, let's prune a bunch of these dead limbs. Then you're going to be able to help people. It's not wrong to want to be able to help. But you can't really, see the question there is, can the blind lead the blind? No. No, you really can't. You're going to both fall into the ditch. You got to have the help of the Holy Spirit. You got to grow up. You got to have some maturity. Get some of these limbs pruned, then you can help other new believers. You can help them. He wants us to help them. But the blind can't lead the blind. Okay, enough on that passage. Now, Jesus himself compares people to trees. Look at Luke 6, verses 43 and 45. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. See, they're two different species, you know. A fig tree is not the same as a thorn tree. And grapevine is certainly not the same thing, not the same species as a bramble bush. He's really talking about the new birth here. You've got to go from one to the other. But a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Now then, the very next thing Jesus tells us is how one of the main keys, how to mature the tree. How to go about, of course, we always mention the four pillars, meditation and confession of the word, praying in tongues, fasting, and worship. I didn't mean to put worship last. that's not in any particular order. You could start with worship, the word, fasting, wherever you want to put it, and prayer. But there's another one that he talks about in Luke chapter 6 that really, really helps bring more fruit if you'll do it. You'll see here in a minute. So I'm going to say it again here. Jesus tells us how to mature the tree. A key that we don't think of very often. You remember how we talked about the orange? Why do we have oranges today? The answer is seeds. There was an original orange tree back there somewhere that God created, let's say in the garden. I wasn't there, but let's just say there was had to be original somewhere. So maybe thousands of years ago, there was an original orange tree. But we have orange fruit and orange trees today. How do we have them from then till now? Seeds. Seeds. It planted, nurtured, brought to maturity, the trees brought to maturity, harvest time, fruit. Down through the centuries. Seeds are the means of continuing the fruit. Seeds. When it comes to Jesus, how is he propagated? How is the fruit of Jesus produced in the earth today? It's words. Paul said in the book of Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, or the gospel of the King. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power. What is the gospel? The gospel is words. Romans 10 says, for the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Somebody preached Christ to you, or else you read it in the Bible, or you heard an audio recording, or somehow, some way, you heard the words of the gospel. Words are the seeds of Christ. I don't think I looked this verse up, but he said, my words are spirit, and my words are life. The very words themselves. A week or two ago, we did that lesson, no word from God is void of power. Every word from God contains an image, just like a seed. Remember when Jesus compared the word to a seed? It's like a man who casts seed into the ground. This is the way the kingdom of God works. Well, why does the angel say to Mary, no word of God shall be without power? Because the word is like a seed, and it has power. Like every seed, I don't know how many seeds are in this orange, but in every single seed, there is the image, not only of an orange, there is the image of an orange tree. It's already in there. And that seed has the power to produce the image that's on the inside of it. The gospel has the power to reproduce Christ in you when you hear it. When you get born again, Christ is sown in you. And that is the mystery of the gospel, Paul said. Christ in you, the hope of the glory, the hope of glory. Praise God. But it's first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Now, don't get me wrong. Christ is fully mature himself. He's seated at the right hand of God, fully majestic. I mean, when Jesus was on earth in his body, John was so close to Jesus at the Last Supper, he was leaning on the man while they ate. I mean, that's pretty close. But when John saw Jesus in the book of Revelations with the fiery eyes and the feet like brass and the voice like the many waters, when he saw Jesus now, he fell at his feet like one dead. Oh my goodness. The words of Jesus are this. That is the gospel, the message that he brought. That is the gospel. And it is the power, the dunamis, that words themselves, the words of the gospel, have the power to produce the image that's in those words. And that image is Christ. And more than that, it is Christ in you. See, that new man is the tree. When you got born again, boom, there's a new man created on the inside of you that has the nature of holiness and righteousness, just like Jesus. It's a new man, all right, righteous and holy from the beginning, but it's not fully mature. It's got to be trained. It's got to grow up. That's why God gave us apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, for the maturing of the body of Christ, that we can grow up into the image of Christ. Peter said, I'm going to say it again, I may have already said it, Peter said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Why? That you may grow thereby. We got to grow. We got to mature. Another thing that we have is the Holy Spirit, because Jesus said, now, that he, the Spirit of truth, when he comes, he is going to guide you into all truth. That's more than just the knowledge of the truth. That's you walking in the truth. Well, I'll never forget 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. He says, he's writing to his friend Gaius, and he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. I think he was writing to Gaius. Anyway, it's 1 John, 2 John, or 3 John. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, I'm not sure of the verse, but he says, if we've been born of the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Whew, man, so much there. Now, get back to my subject here. Try not to take too many rabbit trails today. We're talking about maturing. And I want to talk about a key that we seldom talk about. We talk a lot about the Word, worship, fasting, and prayer. Here's one a little different today. You'll see it in a minute. Now, Jesus is about to tell us how, one of the major, a key to how to mature the tree. Seeds cause what? Let's see, I'll just read it the way I have it. What are the seeds that cause Christians to come to maturity? But the seeds are words. Now, remember what Jesus said in the first passage of Scripture that we quoted from today. I'm going to quote again John chapter 15, just verses 7 and 8. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Remember I said, now remember that phrase? My words abide in you. What does that really mean? It means, I remember what he said. Okay, maybe that's what he means. I've heard that. Yeah, I have knowledge of that. I still remember that. Is that what he means? We'll find out. He said, if my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you should bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Now, you want to know what he means when he says, and my words abide in you? He's still teaching on the same subject. I'll just go ahead and tell you, then we'll read it. Doing his words is how you come to maturity. Actually doing his words. Let's read Luke 6, verses 46 through 49. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? What you hear, but you don't do. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, now notice, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep, laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood came, when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house. Now notice, it could not shake it. Would if it could, but it could not shake it. Why? For it was founded upon a rock. Now, what is the rock? Dave would stay right there. What is the rock? We'd say Jesus. Well, yes, but specifically in this parable, what is the rock? Oh, doing his sayings. Okay. Verse 49. But he that heareth, now see, both men heard, but he that heareth and doeth not. He is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, same as the other, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. The difference, one heard the word and did it, one heard the word and did not. The one who did it was building his house upon a rock. He became as his master. You know, if they give you instructions in karate class and you don't ever do those instructions, are you ever going to become as your master? Nope. Don't you have to do what they say? Don't you have to do what they say and then practice and do it again and practice and do it again to ever become like the instructor? Jesus said, if you want a house, if you want to, how about I say, you want to become mature? You want to be trained? You got to do what I say. You got to do what I say. You'll see it even better here in a minute. See, Christ in you, that new man, will always want to do the Word of God. Christ in you, given the chance, will always do the will of God, will always do the Word of God. It's the flesh that resists it, not the new man. Pastor Dave Roberson would say that the key to becoming a more matured disciple is to do his sayings. Then he would tease us a little bit. He'd say, oh man, if only I could just find some of his sayings so I could do them. Man, I'm so excited. I'm going to build my house on the rock, and it doesn't matter what the devil throws at me. It doesn't matter if the floods of persecution come and all kinds of trouble. My house is going to stand. I'm telling you, I've found the key. All I got to do is find his sayings and do them. My house will be built on a rock. I'm going to become a mature Christian. I can't hardly wait. Boy, if I could just find some of his sayings, I'd do them. Dave would say, well, maybe we could find some of his sayings. Maybe we don't have to look very far. Let's back up a little bit. And Dave would say, well, how about verse 27? Let's just back up in that same chapter to verse 27. And Jesus starts that verse off. As, you know, we're looking for his sayings, right? And he says, but I say unto you. And David go, hallelujah, we found some of his sayings. Because it says right there, I say unto you, hallelujah. Oh, I'm excited. Now it's Dave, he's building us up. I'm excited. My house is going to be built on a rock. I've found the sayings of Jesus, and all I've got to do is do this. Hallelujah. Let's see what these sayings are. But I say unto you which hear. Now, Luke 6:27. But I say unto you which hear. What? Love your enemies? Let's see. Let me find another one. Do good to them which hate you? What? Bless them that curse you? And this, Jesus, you want me to pray for them which despitefully uses me? Jesus, despitefully means they're doing it on purpose. They're doing it despitefully. They're doing it because they enjoy doing it to me. And you want me to pray for them? I don't know about these sayings, Jesus. See what's going on here. To the level that's shocking, or you don't want to do it, or it seems unreasonable, to whatever level it seems that way to you, that's the level of your immaturity. And I'll be first to raise my hand. I'll give you an example here in a minute. Now, he doesn't just stop there. Verse 29. Unto him that smites thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. Him that takes away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Dave would say, if they come to take away your car, say, well, wait a minute. Let me go fill it up with gas first. What? Now, how about 30? Give to every man that asks of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods. And that, if you look that up in the Greek, it means by force. They take away your goods by force. Don't even ask for them back again. These are your sayings. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. Now here it is. I told you. Remember the more excellent way? And what was that? The love chapter? All of these things he's been saying so far. Now look what he says. Look how he kind of brings it together in verse 32. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? Sinners also love them. Sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do the same. And if you lend to them which of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? Sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Now notice verse 35, or I could say 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. And you shall be the children of the Highest. You're going to resemble Him. For He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be you therefore merciful, even as your Father also is merciful. We could go on here. Those are the marks. When you're living like that, those are the marks of a fully trained disciple. And to the degree that you're below that, to the degree that Gary is below that mark, I'm not fully trained. I'm not as my master. I'm still in school. When he says love your enemies, he means exactly that. Do good to them that hate you. I mean, they hate you. Do good to them. Bless them that curse you. Pray. And you go, I don't know if I can live like that. Well, here's the question. Can the blind lead the blind? As long as we think we can't live like that, we're still blind. Can the blind lead the blind? No. No, you can't. We'll both fall in the ditch. We might say today, as long as you still can't live like this, you're not ready for prime time. You're not really ready to help others, or only in a very minimal way, because you're not trained. You've not become as the master. He died for those people. That doesn't mean he was always syrupy sweet and, you know, sickening sweet. You just read Matthew 24 and 25 where he starts talking to the Pharisees. Boy, he reads them the riot act, but I'm telling you, he loved them to the nth degree. He died for them as much as he died for anybody else. He told them one time, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. I mean, he was trying his best to get them to believe the gospel, to believe the truth. But that doesn't mean that he was always, you know, his words are always sweetie sweet and nicey nice. You know, some tough love is tough sometimes. I guarantee you he did all of this because he is the master. He loved his enemies, did good to them that hated him. He died on the cross for them and prayed for them. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Oh, we could go on and on. See, now let me give you a teaching where he says, love your enemies. I'm going to use Gary. I'm always mean to me a little bit and nice to you. I try and be very transparent. And there's no point going into details because this video you may be watching this 10 years from now if the Lord tarries, and the politics may be completely different. So let me just say it this way. Right now in America, there are certain politicians that I greatly disagree with, and I think they're actually bringing evil into our country. One of them in particular that has been in power for a long time is a woman, wields a lot of power, but it's not just her. There's a whole list of them that, I mean, I hate to admit this, but I just despise them. I'm trying to be real, okay? I mean, everything they do to me is evil. And I know they hate Christians. You can, even though they'll say they are a Christian, well, it's not my place to judge, but everything they do is anti-Christian. Every law they pass, everything they do is anti-Christian. Okay, I don't need to go any farther. It might be a little different scenario 10 years from now, but this is how the Lord was bringing this passage to me. I would tell Sue sometimes, I said, boy, I'd get so spitting mad thinking about them. And I'd think, if that lady in particular, I'd say, if that lady's hair was on fire, I wouldn't walk across the street to spit on her. I wouldn't even give her the mercy of one spit to help put out the fire that's in her hair. You know what I mean? That's pretty immature according to this passage, right? Well, the Holy Spirit, when he started bringing me to this passage, not only concerning her, but about 10 or so, maybe more than that, 10 or 11, that were really at the top of that political party that to me was just destroying the country. And the Holy Spirit started, here comes the loppers. He wants me to bear more fruit. And in my own heart, I had to admit, I just despised her. I despised them. And he started bringing this passage to me. He said, well, would she fit the bill? Here, let's see. Love your enemies. Yep, she fits that bill. Pray for them which despitefully use you. Oh, yeah. Yep, that works. Do good to them which hate you. And there's no doubt she hates Christians, real Christians. And I'm going, yep, she fits all that. He says, well, I need you to pray for her. No, I don't want to pray for her. He said, then he listed the 10 or 11, you know, brought them to my mind. I don't want to mention their names. It could be different 10 years from now. Doesn't matter. But I sure know their names. He says, I want you to pray for them every day. I want you to pray that I bless them. I want you to do everything that it says right here. I want you to pray for them, bless them, do good to them if you get a chance, you know. Pray for them every day. I love them. I died for them. I want them in my kingdom. I want them born again. I want them filled with the Spirit. I want them to change. Lord, I don't want to pray for her or them at all. He said, well, do you want to grow up? Do you want to be as your master? Yes, sir. Pray for them. Now, this is another one. See, what did Jesus say that right before we went back to this? He said, the man that builds his house on a rock is the man who hears my words and does them. He didn't say you had to like it. At least not in the beginning. He said, the man that hears my words and does them. In other words, you don't consult with your emotions. He said it. You do it. Oh, man. So I have a little pad that I carry in my briefcase, you know, and I opened it up. It's just blank pages. I wrote her name, and there's about 10 or 11 other names that I wrote in there that are all in that same ilk. They're all of that same cut from that same cloth. None of them at that beginning would I even walk across the street. I wouldn't even walk across the street to spit on them if their hair was on fire. I wouldn't even show them that much mercy, you know. And here I am praying for them. And he had me call them by name, one at a time. I'm not going to mention names, but, you know, I'll make up some. Lord, I pray for Jane Doe. I pray for Jane Doe. I bless her, Lord. Lord, I pray that, and I started whatever I could think of from Scripture, you know, like, Lord, I come against the God of this world that has blinded her eyes to the truth of the gospel. Lord, I know that you're not willing that any perish, but all should repent and come to the knowledge of the Lord. So I'm praying for Jane Doe here, and I called her a real name. I'm praying for Jane Doe. Devil, I come against you. You take your hands off of Jane Doe. You take the blinders off of her eyes. Lord Jesus, I know that when you said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. You were seeing her ahead of time. You forgave them. I forgive her. Lord, I'm asking you, send laborers into the harvest. Go after her, Lord. Lord, I know you want her saved. I'm praying, Lord, that you'd send laborers into the harvest. Now, I didn't go on for hours and hours or anything, but I would pray those kind of things, whatever would come to my mind, by name, for her, out of strictly raw obedience. Nothing in me wanted to do it in the beginning. But, I mean, if there was anything in me, it was such a tiny seed, I couldn't feel it. I know it says the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. I know that, but it also comes in like a seed. Well, if it was in there, it was such a seed, I couldn't even detect it. And then I did a similar thing for that 10 or 11 names. And he wanted me to do it every day. God, every day. Oh, dear Jesus. Oh, dear Lord. Every day. Whew. So it's day two. I do it again. Strictly raw obedience. Nothing in me feels like it. I can't detect. If you'd have asked me in a court of law, if you'd have asked me, you feel any love for them? Nope, don't feel a thing. Why are you praying it? Because he said to do it. He said, the man that hears my word and does them is building his house on the rock, doing his sayings. Well, this is his sayings, and I'm doing them. He didn't say I had to like it. And then I would notice over time my prayers began to change just a little bit, and I'd start thinking, well, Lord, I don't really want them to go to hell. I hate to think of anybody for all eternity. It'd be better for her to repent now and for all of those guys to repent. Boy, it sure be better if they repented now and got really saved so that they don't wind up going to hell, Lord. Okay. And I noticed just the slightest adjustment in me. I really don't want them to go to hell. Okay. And the prayer changed over a period of time. Now get this. I hope I say this. Holy Spirit, help me say this. As I did the words of Jesus, I could feel the love of God for them, little by little, coming into my heart. See, the real love of God can only be gotten from God. It's not on planet Earth. You know, about the closest you can come on planet Earth to the love of God is like a mother. But a mother bear will kill you if you get close to her cubs. That's okay. I mean, that's a far cry from this love of God that'll die for the sinner. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, the real love of God can only come from God. And here's what I found out. Doing the words of Jesus, those words, he said, my words are spirit. My words are life. Heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away. All I can tell you is as I literally did the words, just did what he said, I could feel little by little, wasn't overnight, and it's still happening to this day, the love of God that only comes from God. I could feel it changing my heart towards them. I don't know where it'll end up. Wouldn't it be something if he had me in deep intercessional groanings for this lady? I don't know. Or these people. But I can sure tell it's working. And that's exactly what he said. If you leave the whole chapter in its context, he's saying, you want to mature? You want to grow up? Do what I say. No word is now connecting it up with a lesson a couple of weeks ago. No word of God is without power. Every word of God has the power within it to produce the image that's in it. Well, God is love. And when we treat the words of Jesus like seeds, love your enemies. What does he? Absolutely, he loves his enemies. When we do his sayings, pray for them, do good to them, all of those things, when we just do it, we're doing. It's his words are like seeds bringing forth an image inside of us. And that image, you could say, is Christ. That image is God. That image is love, because God is love. And if you want to grow up, if you want to really build your house on a rock that nothing can shake it, if you want to be a fully trained disciple, let me recommend to you doing the sayings of Jesus. Hallelujah. See you next time. Bye-bye.